those who are online with us as well. My name is Pastor Todd, as along with my wife Jan, we're the lead pastors here at Eastside City Church, and we are so glad that you're here. We are, as we like to say here, we're becoming church together, but I want to say this today, we're becoming family together, and I want to let you know what a blessing it was last week for the small group time that we had at the end of our service. Who enjoyed that? Who enjoyed just being able to get to know some people, being able to connect with some people? I thought it was an incredible opportunity for people. In fact, I've just had so much positive feedback, and it was really designed for this. I know some people are like, man, we should have gone longer, and we could do it longer, and I'm like, yes, but it was designed to give everyone a taste of small group, to be reminded of how blessed it is to be able to connect and fellowship with people. So it looks like we may need to do it again sooner than later, so we're talking about when we're going to do that, but it was such a blessing. And as well, tonight for First Sunday, I want to let you know, for those who would like to join with us, we're going to be doing the Stations of the Cross. So those of my folks here that like some of that traditional type stuff, that's what our prayer gathering is going to be like on this tonight, and it's going to be wonderful, and I want to encourage you to come and pray together with the rest of the body. Well, this morning, we're beginning a new series that I'm really excited about called Finding Financial Freedom, Defeating the Giant of Debt. And it's going to be a little bit different than maybe some of the other services or series that we've had on finances, where we tend to talk about putting God first, giving, and all of that stuff, and that is still very important. But this is going to be a little bit more practical series to help people. And here's where I want to start off. And it's really, before even the snowstorm hit, this was my example. And it's this: if you've lived in Alberta long enough, there's no question, not if, but when you'll become stuck in the snow. Anybody become stuck in the last 24 hours, 20 hours, maybe that's where you were at with all of that? Well, I actually remember a snowstorm many years ago, actually before I worked at the church, where we had almost 3 feet of snow overnight. It was an incredible snowstorm. Yeah. And at that time, the car that was my main car was an 83 Oldsmobile Cutlass or Gutlass Sierra. And so I had to go to work. I think it was a Monday morning when it had gone Sunday night all the way to Monday, and it was just massive. And I thought I would be able to bulldoze my way from our side of the street to the main boulevard. Well, my travel that morning lasted a whole 30 seconds as I quickly high-centered the car on snowpack, unable to find traction. And I don't know if you do, the worst thing you can do. What is the worst thing you can do when you're stuck in the snow? Just smash the gas. It's the thing you want to do. You hope it's going to work, but it just buries you deeper. So my 30-second drive out of my driveway into the street, it took me 2 hours to get back into my driveway, back into the garage. It was not a great thing. Why are we talking about this? Well, I believe that there are many people who are stuck financially, struggling to make ends meet. And many here are facing the challenge that they have more month than money. Maybe that is your situation today. With inflation and other pressures, they're real. We've seen things change in the last year where interest rates have gone way up. The cost of things in the last 2 years has gone way up. And our wages and our salaries haven't kept up with that. And for many here, it can feel like you're falling farther and farther behind in the things that you need to do or you want to do. And here's what I believe. It can begin to feel like there is a massive giant weighing you down that is on your back. Can I say this today? The whole point of what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks is I want to see each person here that free, being able to live the life that God designed for you to be able to live. We want to help you. And so today we're going to begin to go after a giant, because I believe it is a giant, and his name is debt. So I want to start off by reading to you out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 to 11. And we have the story about Goliath, who is a giant. And here's what it says in this scripture. It says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. I'm going to tell you how big that is in a minute. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Does it mean anything to you yet, either, these biblical weights? And on his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And here's what it says that Goliath would do in verse 8. It says that Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects or your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. You know, we have to understand this, that Goliath was a beast of a man. In fact, I looked up, well, how much was 6 spans and a part of it? He was almost 10 feet tall. Who here thinks if a 10 feet tall person was shouting at you, yelling at you, you might feel a little bit of intimidation? It says his armor weighed over 100 pounds, and he carried a spear that was over 30 pounds. It was amazing. And he was a man of immense strength, intimidating in both his size and his sound. You see, due to rejecting God, Israel had been bound in slavery to the Philistines. But because God was and is merciful, he was now leading Israel to break free from the Philistine oppression. Who here knows this, that whenever you want to make a change in your life, or you want to change a habit or things that are difficult, it's not always easy. That there are some battles that have to be won in order for that to happen so that freedom can be attained. And so he constantly spoke threats, snorting and sneering at the army of Israel while blaspheming God. And every day, he challenged them to send out a champion to fight him in a winner-take-all confrontation. Losers would become slaves to the winners. Now, Israel was in this position because of compromise and poor choices. And the only way out for them was to trust God to help them defeat this intimidating giant. I believe this, we face a similar giant today, the giant of debt. And this giant of debt sneers and snorts at people, robbing them of peace and restricting their freedom. For many, it is a big and massive weight pulling us down. And because debt is a familiar foe, we have to understand this, it sometimes can begin to feel like a necessary companion, like, well, this is just the way it is. This is how we do things. But it keeps us in a place where we live from paycheck to paycheck. So what is really debt? I'm going to go into this very simply. Debt is spending money we do not have, on things we cannot afford, in hopes that it'll make us happy and bring fulfillment. See, what is the nature of the giant of debt? Well, it creates anxiety and a sense of feeling overwhelmed. Who here today will be honest and say, there are times in my life when I look at my finances, even when I'm looking at it right now, and it can feel a bit overwhelming. The stress of it can just feel like it's suffocating. You see, it robs people of sleep and produces tension in important relationships. I believe this as well. It restrains people from finding the opposite of poverty. It keeps people from finding wealth. It restricts generosity. And it lures people into further debt, making it seem like the only way to live is to have more debt. But the biggest thing about this giant is that he's a liar. And how does he lie? Well, he has an arsenal of lies that snare us and snag us. And here's the biggest thing that he uses. The giant specializes in FOMO, or the fear of missing out. Like if you don't do this right now, you're not going to get the things that you need. You're never going to find this thing again. He does stuff like that all the time. There will never be another deal like the one you're seeing today. Buy it now before it's gone. That's how FOMO works. You begin to, I've got to make a purchase right now. Jen and I fell for this trap many years ago in buying a timeshare. I don't recommend buying timeshares. It's a never-ending game of increasing fees and less things that you get to do. I just want to encourage you, if you've never done this, don't. Because you can do your vacationing and find your stuff. Probably with the money you'd spend on a timeshare, you could go to a lot of incredible places. But here's the other thing that he will lie. He says, because you've worked hard, you deserve blank. Maybe it's a new outfit. Maybe it is something like a new vehicle, a new computer, a big vacation. Do you understand this? When we think we deserve or we're entitled to something, it's easy to justify poor decisions. Well, I work hard. I need to do this. You see, entitlement is the basis for most bad financial decisions. I've got to have this now. Here's another lie. Because you need a good and reliable vehicle, you need to buy a new car. You need it. And anyways, you're going to have a car payment for the rest of your life, no matter what. It's part of his pitch. It's part of what he does. See, here's what I want you to understand. Because the giant of debt offers this is what he does. He offers short-term gain in exchange for long-term servitude. You see, it feels good in the moment, but it's hard when all of a sudden these decisions that have been made begin to pile up upon us, creating this weight where this giant begins to weigh us down. Here's what Proverbs 22, verse 7 says. Jesus, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to what? The lender. You see, when we are in debt and we use debt, and we're going to talk about different kinds of debt here in a bit, it can put you in a place now where you are servant to the lender. See, debt is a big problem. I want to share some statistics with you here today about what we're facing. You see, in Canada, in this year, for the first time in our history, did you know this, that the national debt has exceeded the GDP, or the gross domestic product? What it means is that the amount of things that are produced in this country, we owe more than we actually own property that has the value to cover debt. And we know this. Our government is printing and spending money like there's no tomorrow. Which, what has it done? It has led to out-of-control inflation, right? We're all seeing that things cost more, right? See, that's what happens when the government produces more money because of the debt and takes us into greater debt than there is. And the second thing it's done is it's led to higher interest rates. But here's the thing that's interesting. Not only has government debt increased, but personal debt for individuals and families is at an all-time high. Now, you may not know this, but did you know that Alberta is the province that has more personal debt than any other province in Canada? Did you know this, that Calgary is the city in the province of Alberta that has more personal debt than any other city in Canada? We are the debt leaders of Canada. And I don't know if that's a prize that I'm excited about sharing here today. You see, the average personal debt or consumer debt, this is not including mortgages, is $24,000 a year per person. Now you're like, well, that doesn't seem like that's horrible. Well, that's the average. And I'll guarantee you, your kids probably aren't carrying debt, so they're at zero. So that's saying that there's a lot more things that are going on in people's lives. Did you know that the average credit card balance in Calgary is $4,185 per credit card? That means that each person pays Visa or MasterCard at least $1,000 a year in interest. Congratulations. And if you're paying the minimum payment, I don't know if you've ever looked on your credit card statement, if you just paid the minimum balance, it'll tell you, it'll be like, in 104 years, you'll be debt-free if you pay the minimum balance. That's scary. Did you know that the average car payment in Calgary now is $800 per month? Now, I'm going to share something that's really amazing. Did you know that if you put $800 a month into a mutual fund that pays 8% interest for 30 years, you would have $1.2 million at the end of 30 years? Maybe that nice car doesn't feel quite as nice today. Did you know that the average mortgage payment is $1,700 per month, but is on the rise because of significantly higher interest rates? They say right now that 70% of all mortgages are coming due in the next couple years, meaning if you've gone from a 2% interest rate to now a 5% interest rate, it's going to increase your payments probably by $500 or $600 a month. And for a lot of people, that's a very difficult thing. See, the problem is that what this causes is that it causes many of us to live from paycheck to paycheck because of debt. Now here, I've kind of painted the grim picture. I know this isn't probably encouraging at this moment. Well, I'm going to give you some hope here. We need to understand that the cost of debt, though, is not just financial. See, debt does not only rob us of wealth potential, but it steals our peace and even harms our relationships. Here's the thing that most people don't understand. The number one reason that marriages fail is because of financial stress and difficulty. See, the stress of financial shortfalls is more than many couples can overcome. When we spend more than we make, it releases worry and anxiety. It's hard to keep all the plates spinning when you are juggling debt. And you see this when we fall behind on any payments, it can become scary to answer the phone or open the mailbox. But I believe today God wants to help us, and we have to understand this, that debt is not our friend. It's not the thing that we have to use. It can be useful at times, but it's never our friend. You see, I believe this for each and every person here, that life doesn't need to be this stressful for people. You see, God's plan for you and I is not just to do more to eke out a living. It is more than surviving, but to live a blessed and prosperous life. I believe that each of you can have a blessed and prosperous. However, you'll never get there if you're being controlled by debt. Now, according to Dave Ramsey, who here knows who Dave Ramsey is? He's kind of a financial guru in the States. Here's what he says about money. He says 80% of money problems have nothing to do with the amount of money people earn, but rather the behavior issues or attitudes people have towards money. So what's he saying? He says, look, the problem isn't that whether you have more money or less money. The issue that most of us have is how we think about money, how we use money, how we spend money. And I'm going to tell you this today. This might blow your mind, that for most of us, more money is not the answer for our financial problems. What do you mean, Pastor? That just sounds crazy. You're telling me if I had more money, it wouldn't fix a lot of things? Maybe temporarily. You see, if you don't have the proper view of money and finances, it doesn't matter how much you make, it will never be enough. See, it's not what you earn, but the way that you spend and use the resources provided to you. And usually I say it's a problem. It's the cars that people drive, the clothes people buy, the houses that they live in, the restaurants that they eat at. You see, we can get into the place where so many people make purchases to look good and feel good or to impress people that surround them. And I'm going to tell you here a little secret, something that I've been studying for years, is that most people who look rich are not. It's an illusion. They might have cool stuff, but they're really broke. And most millionaires, you might not know this, are hard to recognize because they're not flashy. They don't drive the latest and greatest thing most of the time. They're normal people who have made decisions on how to live a life where they have controlled spending. They don't spend more than what they earn. Now, I've got to say this. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having good things that you have as you can afford them. When you have the cash to pay for them. See, for most, more money means a bigger car loan, a larger mortgage, faster, fancier restaurants to eat at, and nicer clothes charged to Visa or MasterCard. And there are many stories, I don't know if you've heard these, of people who have won massive lotteries. Have you seen that? Or they do shows, or you might even know somebody that like won a million or a few million dollars. And the stories are very tragic. I mean, that with only to find out that within a few years, they're completely broke again. Why? Because, see, money wasn't the answer to their problems because they didn't have the discipline or the ability to say no to things that they should have said no to. That's where I talk about behavior. Whether we realize it or not, there are spending patterns that lead either to prosperity or lack. You see, the first thing I want to talk about is the debt or scarcity cycle. Here's what it is. Everybody has money that God supplies to them, typically through a paycheck, through a pension, through different things. And here's what happens. For those who are in the debt cycle, God supplies the money, and what happens next? They spend more than they need to. You know, there's justifications. Going on a date, we need some new threads. Cannot look like a cheapo, you know. Or, hey, Todd, everyone is going for lunch at that new sushi place. You got to come. And here's the reality, meal after meal going out. And here's what's crazy to me. You know, McDonald's used to be a place where you could get a cheap, quick meal. But now a Big Mac value meal is almost $15. And don't get me started on Uber Eats and Skip the Dishes. Holy moly. Biggest ripoff on the planet. See, we confuse the things we want with the things that we need. And the only truly needs that people have are food, heat, shelter, and basic transportation. The rest is only stuff. And if we learn to treat stuff as stuff and not a necessity, we'll be on our way to financial freedom. And here's what happens when we live this way. It produces lack. When we spend more than we make, it produces a deficit or lack in our lives. Instead of being free and able to respond both to opportunity and challenges, we become weighed down and unable to enjoy what we have. And the only option for fun and freedom is to grab onto, to take on more debts, which the banks and credit card companies will happily oblige you for, which only increases the weight that people carry. And then it results in fear. Have you ever experienced anxiety attacks because of finances? Have you ever been kept up at night worrying about stuff? Were you so afraid of your future because you know that you're in financial trouble? I believe more people are living here than many realize. And I've been there, and I know it's scary, but here's what I want to tell you. I've decided that I don't want to live there anymore. And I want to let you know, you don't have to live there anymore either. You don't have to live with those things. And by God's grace and his help, things can change. There is a way out. I call this, here's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what does it say here in timidity? But of power, love, and self-discipline. You see, self-discipline. What is self-discipline or self-control? It's the ability to say no to things. You see, in the provision cycle, here's what I believe can happen. God supplies. And here's what we're going to change. Here's what we're going to talk about more as we go forward. We have a plan. We have a plan of what we're going to do. We have a plan for where our money is going to go. We have a plan for how we're going to take care of the future. And it allows us to say no to anything that is not part of the plan. See, I believe this. We give. We put God first. This is Bible. But then we save. We invest in our future. We develop a plan that does three things. It meets our essential needs. It pays down our debt and invests in our future. Who here thinks that's a good plan? To have things that will take care of your needs, pay down your debt, and invest in your future. You see, we become laser focused at mastering our money. We tell our money where to go and what it should do, not the other way around. We learn to say no to our impulses and desires because we are not controlled by want, but we are led by what? By conviction. And when you understand this and you live this, everything will change in your life. I believe this. You will begin to see something change. Here's the result of making those decisions. Resources will multiply because God blesses and multiplies when we follow biblical principles. Your needs will be met. Your debt will be defeated. Your money will increase. And here's the cool part. Your relationships will be better. And it will produce peace in your life. When you don't have the chain of debt around your neck, you will find freedom and peace. And when we live in freedom and peace, we sleep better, we are more joyful, and I'm going to say this, we just are nicer people to be around. But today, something has to give. You see, we have to get to the place where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Where we're tired of feeling in our life like things are weighing us down and they're out of control. You've got to get to that point where you say, I don't want to live like this anymore. You see, if you see money as a tool and use the tool wisely, you will find blessing. If you see money as your source, you will find debt and disappointment. You see, the reality here today, and I've got to say this, I want to be fair about this, and I'm talking pretty strongly today. We may be in debt because we've not known there's a way to do things different financially. Maybe nobody's ever taught you how to do money. I'm here to tell you today, one of the greatest issues with our school system today is they don't teach kids and young people how to even handle finances. They don't teach them how to do things. We have to figure it out on our own. And we maybe have debt because we've been never taught how to use money properly. Or we may have made some mistakes. We may have made some poor choices. But I want to tell you this, that none of that matters today because today is a new day. We cannot change our past, but we can look forward to our future, a future that includes financial freedom. You see, we're going to learn in the next few weeks how to be the master of our money, where our money doesn't master us. That we can be the masters of work. We can decide where our money will go and what it will do. And we can be free and the giant of debt can be defeated. And here's my declaration to you. I declare freedom over you and your finances. I declare even what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us have heard this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Listen to this. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, I declare hope over your life today. And you're never too young or too old to be free. I have some people tell me like, man, I'm in my 70s or in my 80s and I haven't done certain things. I'm here to tell you today, you can begin to make a change that will make a big difference in your future and the future of your family. Maybe you're feeling anxious or you feel like your finances are out of control. Maybe you're feeling defeated today. You see, I believe that today God is here to help us. And I hope that you will be patient with me as I share this over the next few weeks of how you can defeat the giant of debt and find financial freedom. Because it's not just about not having the weight of debt. I believe this, that God wants to help you be somebody who God will prosper so that you can do the things God has put in your heart. So here's what we're going to do. I want everybody just to bow their heads and close their eyes just for a few moments. And I want to ask a few questions. I want to know if you'd be willing today to raise your hand if you want more freedom in your life. You're hearing what I'm saying. You're like, Pastor, I want freedom. I love that idea of freedom, of peace. Raise your hand if you're tired of living under the control and the burden and bondage of debt, if this is God speaking to you today. I believe he's going to help us. He's going to help each one of us as we see this. And here you go. Raise your hand if you want real change. You want to see things change. That you're like, God, help me. Help me to change these things. You see, because I believe this today. I believe God is here to help you. And as your pastor, as a leader today, my heart, my desire is to help you. You see, this series isn't going to be about what you need to give or what you need to do necessarily, because I'm not looking for what it will do for the church or what for us as a group of people together. I'm believing God, first of all, that God wants to touch your life and give you a new level of freedom, that God wants to break off of you just some mindsets, some ways that maybe you've looked at your finances. Because you see, I believe this, that our finances affect every part of our life. And when our finances are healthy and the way that we go about our finances, then you're going to be healthy. And here's what's really cool about that. When you're healthy, because the church is people, then the church will be healthy. You see, that's how it should work. That's the way that God wants to do things. So, Father, I'm praying today, Father, for each person here that, Lord, is acknowledging, God, that they want to live their life differently. They want to come out from under the burden of debt. Lord, I declare, and I speak this into the spirit realm right now, I declare to the giant of debt, we're coming after you, that you're going to be defeated, that you're going to be knocked down, that people are going to be able to do the things that you've put into their hearts and their minds. Lord, that there's going to be a new freedom and liberty that's going to come over each person, Father God, that embraces this idea, embraces these ideas. And Lord, we're here not to create a place where people feel down on themselves or negative, but God, today my heart in this is that they would experience the hope that comes from you. That Lord, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, that God, that you have plans for each and every one of us, plans to free us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, but to give people a future and a hope. I declare hope into this place today. And I'm believing this, that a year from now that people, your lives are going to look differently. You're going to feel differently. We may not have completely got out of things, but there's going to be a plan, and you're going to experience winning in your finances, winning in your relationships, winning in each part of your life. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. And for those who are feeling defeated today, I speak to your spirit. Rise up. You are a champion. You are a daughter of the King of Kings. You are a son of the King of Kings. I declare victory in the name of Jesus today. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that as we go forward, Lord, we're going to see even greater just blessing in each person's life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's where we're going to start today. This is just the introduction, because this isn't going to be one of those things where you're just told, hey, you got to get rid of this thing. We're going to talk about how we eradicate this thing in our life. And I say it before, is all debt bad? It's not your friend. But we'll talk about houses and all that good stuff and how to do things in a way that will bring freedom for you.